Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
The word of the Lord, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Thank you for coming out in this rainy weather. But I remind you that 1 inch of rain in South Texas translates to $1 billion. That's with a B. And so those of you that play golf and you whine because it rains on your golf day, shame on you. $1 billion for every inch of rain. All the fruit and all the vegetables that grow in the valley and all the cattle and all that meal. And I got a city slicker pastor friend in Houston, and he says the stupidest thing. He says, I want it to get so dry that the ground cracks open, because he hates rain, because it inconveniences him, because it messes up his truck and he has to wash it. Friend, I want to tell you, when it rains, rejoice. Even with it floods, help those people that have a problem with the flood, but rejoice for the rain. Rain is life. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. You may be seated. I am going to talk to you for a few moments on the subject, the natural man. The natural man. You know, I have a problem winning people to Christ in my life. Now, I don't have a problem witnessing to them, sharing with them, getting them to embrace me. But when they come to this church or they tune in and see this church, they immediately lose interest. When I first came to San Antonio in the mid-70s, I became friends with an older woman. I was in my mid-20s, and she was probably 60 then. She and I became great friends. She was a real estate broker, and we did a lot of things together, and she loved me like a son. And so she came to this church about 3 times. And finally she said, Steve, I've got to talk to you about something. I love you like you're my son, but I can't come to your church because it's too different. She just couldn't get by the hurdle. And so when we recognize that, we have to recognize that we are a different people. We're the people the Bible talks about that are separated for blessing. The people that are in the world but not of the world. The Bible tells us that God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. That God's ways are not man's ways. That his thoughts and his ways are higher, are superior to man's thoughts and ways. That's Isaiah 55, 8, and 9. The natural man. I know a lot of good people that I wished I could win to Christ that have been friends of mine for years, and they are really friends of mine, and they like me. They just don't like what I embrace spiritually. The natural man's most frequent thought, and usually a statement, but his most frequent thought is when you talk to him about spiritual things is, I just don't see it. I just don't see it. In other words, I can't believe that, or I can't understand what you're saying. They're being very truthful. They don't see it. They don't understand it. They cannot see it. They can't comprehend it. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 21. Hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, and have ears and hear not. You know, sometimes we are influenced by the masses. I remember a saying to a friend of mine about a gospel church. I said you can't really criticize them much because of their success. And he said, well, atheists are successful. They have big meetings. I said, I know. He said, yes, they get together and have big meetings. He said, you cannot judge truth by numbers. You never judge truth by numbers. Jesus said, enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few be there that find it. Few there be that find it. It's a relative term. There's going to be millions and millions of people saved, but it's few compared to those that are lost. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. I've been in the ministry now over 50 years. It's radically changed. When I started preaching, I was a teenager, and so I was preaching for pastors. Those pastors were middle-aged men then. Almost all of them are in heaven today. They're gone on. And I was not as close to the peers my own age because I was always preaching for these pastors. And so those were my friends and my close associates. And those were amazing men. I preached for men that pastored 50 people for a lifetime. I preached for men that pastored thousands of people for a lifetime. But the whole group were amazing because their concern was about people being saved. That group did not talk about church growth. They did not talk about church organization. They talked about getting people saved. Today, the group of ministers that I frequently espouse and go to conferences with never talk about getting people saved. They never talk about individuals. It's only about church growth. It's only about how I can get my church filled, how I can increase my numbers, and how I can increase the bottom line, which is finance. That's all they talk about. I think their intent is good, but they have missed the concept of Jesus Christ leaving the 99 and finding the one. They forgot it's not about building great corporate churches. It's about saving people one by one. And so, unfortunately, we're filling churches with people today that are not saved. I'm talking about churches that espouse the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Most of their parishioners do not have the Holy Spirit. It's a tolerated doctrine, but not something that is really stressed that much. Because more than anything, they don't want to offend anybody. I said to a friend of mine, which is a wonderful guy, and I offended him greatly. I said, your problem, brother, is you love people more than you love God. He does not want to offend anybody. When an Indian couple asked him to marry them and not mention the name of Jesus, he agreed. I simply cannot do that. Anybody that tells me I can't mention the name of Jesus, I don't care what it is, I can't participate in your event, because that name is the name that saved me. That person is the one that bought me. It's more important to have the blessing of the Lord and the favor of God than it is the goodwill of people. It's not greatly important that I'm loved by the masses, but it's vitally important that I please the one that dug me out of a pit and saved me. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, born of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. If you had to ask me, Pastor Steve, what are you most thankful for of everything in your life, materially, relationships, what are you most thankful for? It would be that God has taken the scales from my eyes and that I'm not a natural man, I am a spiritual man. I can see what other people can't see. I can hear what other people can't hear. I can look at people that are billionaires and not envy them or want to be like them, but actually put them in my prayers and have sorrow and compassion for them because they don't know what I know. They can't see what I see. They can't hear what I hear. and without me, and even though I can tell them, without the ability of the Holy Spirit, they simply can't see it. They simply don't get it. The Bible said, Jesus said, you must be born again or you can't see the kingdom of God. You can't comprehend the kingdom of God. The Bible tells us that so many things to the natural man is senseless or foolish. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are not spiritually discerned. The Apostle Paul addresses this group of people, and it's quite a phrase. I've never heard anybody mention this phrase in the pulpit except me, and I've done it hundreds of times. Those that occupy the room of the unlearned. There are people that live in a house of the unlearned. They're in a room and they simply do not understand spiritual things. You are an oddity to them. They love you. You're a great neighbor. You're a great coworker. You're a great relative. But they cannot comprehend the fact that you actually pray every day. It's beyond their comprehension. They cannot comprehend that you actually read the Bible and enjoy it. It's beyond their belief that you go to church almost every Sunday. And some of you on Wednesday night, it's just mind-boggling to them because they are natural people. The Bible teaches us to the natural man, the cross is foolishness. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. This is a statement I've made for 50 years, and I can tell that people just hate for me to make it. But there are going to be better people in hell than some of the people that are in heaven. Because you're not saved because you're better. You're saved because you're born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's not a comparison that you are making more money or you're a better parent. Or you are more circumspect in your business dealing. That's not what saves you. It's the fact that you are spiritual and you can see the things of the kingdom of God. And so the cross, when we preach the cross as the only way of salvation, that is foolishness to the natural man. Because the natural man says, you know, that if a man is a good man, he might be an atheist, an agnostic. He might espouse one of the great religions of the world, Hinduism or whatever. And if he's sincere, you know, preacher, he's saved. I don't know that. Because I spiritually discern what the Word of God says, and it tells me that we're saved by the cross of Jesus Christ. The truth is, I can't get good enough to be saved. And so Christ took my place, and he died on the cross. And he died in my place that I might go to where he left, that I might be saved. You say, I can't see that. That's because the natural mind cannot understand that. That's the reason why it's more difficult for people that are highly educated and highly intelligent to be saved. For they lean on their own understanding. They lean on their own reason. And they say, let me reason this out. Friend, this is not about reasoning it out. It's about hearing what Jesus Christ said, what the Word of God says. And so the preaching of the cross is foolish to the natural man, but to the spiritual man, to us which are saved, it is the power of God. What is foolishness to the natural man is the world's greatest love story to those of us that are spiritual. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Christ laid down his life for us, and we understand that. That's because you're a spiritual man, and you can see spiritual things. And when I use the word man, mankind, and you're spiritual, and you can see that Jesus Christ laid down his life for you. But even greater than that, we that are spiritually minded, remember what the writer said when he said, God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, you do not marry somebody that is a total devastated person and say they'll probably get better in the marriage. When you fall in love with somebody, you're standing at that altar, you think you have got the prize of the lot. This is a wonderful, wonderful person I'm marrying. But Jesus Christ married us when we were at the worst, when we were sinners. when we were adulterers, when we were whoremongers, when we were suicidal, when we were gossips, Christ loved us then. And so to the world, the preaching of the cross, to the natural man, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. But to us, it is the greatest love story that we have ever heard, because he came and got us out of the pig pen. That's the reason why we love the story of the prodigal. He came and got us when we were in falling off the edge of the rock. He left the 99 and came and got us. We love this story. But the only reason why we love this story is because we are spiritual. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is madness to the natural man. There's not much that is offensive in Christianity as the practice of speaking with tongues. It divides so many Christians. So many Christians. It's just madness to them. The Bible said in Acts 2, and they were all amazed when they saw them speaking with tongues and being baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were amazed and they were in doubt, saying one to another, "What meaneth this?" Others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." At the very first advent and occasion of the Holy Spirit being outpoured, the natural man said, "This is crazy. This makes absolutely no sense. These people are as drunk people." It made no sense to them, and it makes no sense to the natural mind today. The baptism of the Holy Spirit to those that are spiritually minded, it's not madness, but it's gladness. The Bible said in that same chapter, and when they received his word, they gladly received it and were baptized. And that same day, there were added in him 3,000 souls. Peter wrote about it, and he said, "Rejoice, rejoice, because it is joy unspeakable and full of glory." Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 13 years of age in a church that there wasn't more than 25 people on that February night in Mooresville, Indiana. But it was an experience that so changed me and so transformed me that I've been glad about it ever since. And I depend on that. And from my time I was 13 to the time I stand in this pulpit, I can tell you it is the power of that experience that has caused me to resist the devil and him flee from me. To the natural man, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is foolishness. But to the spiritual man, it is a glad, glad experience. Obedience to the Word of God is absolutely foolishness to the natural mind. It simply makes no sense. You remember the story of Saul and David and how God was rejecting Saul and he was accepting David. There's a reason why there that happened. Because God told Saul, said, "Go down and destroy all the Amalekites and kill every last one of them." And Saul almost did the will of God, but he had a little better plan. And that was he would kill most of them, but he would take the Amalekite king Agag, put him in a cage and march him through the streets and say, "Look what God delivered into my hands." And he would take the best of their animals and sacrifice them to Jehovah. That was not God's plan. That was Saul's plan. You see, man always has a different idea. When you become spiritually minded, you will realize that God's ways are above your ways, and your ways simply do not matter. You conform to the will of God. You beg God for the mind of Christ. The song we sang a while ago about going with our own agenda, we simply lay that agenda aside and say, "God's will is my will now." That was the difference between David and Saul. Saul just barely missed the word of God, spared just that king Agag and made him a hostage and kidnapped him and prayed him and said, "Look what the Lord has done." Just because you say it doesn't mean it's true. But if you read the story of Saul, in his dying moments when he was already wounded, it was an Amalekite. It was a descendant of Agag, the man that he had spared, that come and pierced him asunder with a sword and took away his final breath. Friend, when you violate the word of God and obedience to it, I promise you it will come back to end your spiritual life. But David was exactly the opposite. He was a man after God's own heart. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments." The natural man says, I love him, but I don't have to keep his commandments. We're living in a world today that's invented their own religion and put the tag of Christianity on it. And just because you tag it as Christianity, if it's not the Word of God, it's not the real thing. And only the blood of Christ and only obedience to Christ can save a man's soul. I praise God that God has been able to put in me a spiritual mind that is greater than my natural mind. There are so many times I say, I don't know and I don't understand. But at my point in life, I don't know, have to know, and I don't have to understand. Because there is a God that is the captain of my ship, and there is a God that is leading me every step of the way, and the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding me. To this fleshly man, to the natural man, some of the things that we do in this church are just so appalling. They're just so foreign to the natural mind. Worship is foolishness to the natural mind. The natural mind says you need to come and sit and be real quiet with your hands folded and not move and just stare straight ahead. Listen to a singer, but never participate. Listen to a sermon, but never participate. At very best, nod your head and get up and walk out the door. That's the spirit of the natural man. That spirit is an old spirit. It was in Saul. It was in Saul's daughter, Michal. When David brought back the ark that Saul had let slip away, and the Ark of the Covenant was the symbol of the Holy Spirit and the presence in Israel. And when David brought it back, he was so excited that God's Spirit and God's presence was going to be back in Israel, that in front of that ark, he began to sing, and he began to dance, and he began to worship, and he danced until his kingly garment fell off. His own wife, Michal, which happened to be the daughter of Saul. He married the king's daughter. Her name was Michal. When she saw him setting up and looking through a window, the Bible said she despised him in her heart. There was a recompense for that, and that was, the Bible said, her womb was shut up and she never had a child. Ladies and gentlemen, if people are going to be born into the kingdom of God, there has to be a real atmosphere of praise. And those that despise God's worship and God's spirit will not have such an atmosphere. But David was simply a man after God's own heart, and he loved to worship the Lord. People that are spiritually minded love to worship. People that are naturally minded are offended by praise and worship. They want it to be dignified because that appeals to their pride and to their flesh. But people that are spiritually minded love to lose themselves in the Spirit. They join with the John on the Isle of Patmos and say, it was on the Lord's day and I got in the Spirit. And so we here at Living Way Church are a unique group. We are a spiritual people that are not understood by those that are natural, because God has done a great thing in our life. We have learned to be spiritually minded is to find in his presence there is fullness of joy. That's the difference between Saul and David. Saul was a man of a natural mind, and David was a man of a spiritual mind. There is a priority of praise. When Jesus came in for that triumphant entry, the Bible said that his followers began to worship him and threw their cloaks down and their coats for his burrow to ride in on. But those that were naturally minded said, this is ridiculous, and this is terrible. And they demanded of Jesus that he rebuke his disciples that were worshiping him. But Jesus said, if I rebuke them, the rocks will cry out. God's always going to have a people. That's the reason why the Bible said, not many mighty. There's not going to be a lot of rich people in heaven, some. There's not going to be a lot of PhDs in heaven, some. Not many mighty. Not many noble, not many rich, the Bible declares, but it's just little people. The Bible said of Christ's followers, and the common people heard him gladly. It's just people that realize they can't save themselves. And so God takes the scales from their eyes, and God changes their heart, and they become devout followers of Jesus Christ. They're not proud and they're not arrogant. They're simply people that realize they didn't have a chance and God brought them in. They're simply people that realize they were hellbound and now their name is written down in heaven. They are spiritual people rather than natural people. There's a story I'd like to bring to you right now in closing. It's a story of a man by the name of William Wilberforce. William Wilberforce belonged to the Parliament in England in the 1800s. He was a mover and shaker in England. He had tremendous ability and tremendous oratory. He suffered from blindness a lot of the time, but he was a tremendous politician. He had tremendous strength and influence in the Parliament and in all of England. He was known as a man that could get something done. But something happened to Mr. Wilberforce. He went to an old-fashioned evangelical meeting and got gloriously saved. He got filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. It changed his life forever. And when it changed his heart, it made him love everybody, because he had been a strict person that believed that the white race was the superior race. He was strong that there should be a class of slavery in England. But the very day he got saved, the scales fell off of his eyes. And for 30 years, for 31 years, for 30 years, Mr. Wilberforce went to the Parliament as a member, and he had a bill that would abolish slavery in England. And for 30 years, they turned him down. But on the 31st year, they passed the law that would abolish slavery in England. And 3 days later, Mr. Wilberforce died, but he lived to see it. 31 years he did that. And he did that because he was no longer a natural man. He was a spiritual man. And when you're spiritual, you have to see that all men are created equal, that there is no difference in all any of us. The only difference is the difference that Jesus Christ makes. He was a man of tremendous influence. At that time, the prime minister was a man by the name of William Pitt. William Pitt served as the prime minister for a number of years for England. He was a good man. He was a natural man. He was a smart man. He was a politician. He was a force in England. And he was Mr. Wilberforce's very best friend. And somewhere in that 31 years, Mr. Wilberforce heard his favorite preacher was preaching an evangelistic meeting. So he said, I took Prime Minister William Pitt to that meeting. He said it was absolutely the best meeting I've ever been in. I know you bring your friends to the church, and maybe the songs are not the ones you wanted sung. Maybe the preacher doesn't preach the sermon you think your friend needs to hear. That wasn't the case with Prime Minister William Pitt. Mr. Wilberforce said it was the best service I was ever in my life. He said the singing was unbelievable. He said the worship was tangible, and you could feel it. And he said the preacher preached the best message I've ever heard in my life. He made the gospel so simple that a child sitting in that building could hear it. He said, I waited for Mr. Prime Minister William Pitt to stand up, walk to that altar, and give his life to Christ. He said he never moved. Going home, I sat beside him, and finally, he'd not said a word. I said, what did you think of the meeting? He said, not one thing in that room made one bit of sense to me. And Mr. Wilberforce said, my best friend died without Christ. He was a natural man. He just couldn't get it. Friend, do you understand that there are people that are richer than you, that are better looking than you, that are smarter than you, that have so much going for them that you haven't had, that are never going to be saved? You ought to get up every morning when you throw the sheets off. You ought to stand up and lift your hands as high as you can and say, praise God, praise God. I'm not a natural man. I'm a spiritual man. I've been born again. I can see what my cousins don't see. I can see what my friends don't see. We are so crazy. The debate for 4 years was whether Donald Trump was a Christian or not. I never, ever said he was a Christian. One of my friends was a great friend with Bill Clinton. And Bill Clinton, with all of his shenanigans, my friend said in a book, he's the greatest Christian I've ever met. Friend, just don't make those statements. You're not judging anybody but yourself. Judging yourself. Can you stand up and say, I am a spiritual man? You're not if you don't love God's word. You're not if you don't love God's people. You're not if you don't love God's house. You're not if you don't love to worship. You're not if you don't love to pray. If you're a spiritual person, you will love what the world absolutely abhors because God has done something in you. Friend, I count myself so privileged that I understand what I understand and I see what I see. I can make money, but I realize there is no value eternally in that money. I can partake of the things around me, but I realize this is all just fading away. What I live for is the fact that I am saved, born again. And friend, I can tolerate anybody that wants to criticize me. I don't mind people making fun of me because I am a fundamentalist, evangelical, born again, Holy Ghost filled, Holy Ghost believing, tongue talking Christian. It doesn't matter to me at all because I consider myself in a superior position and I'm not there by my own volition. The truth that God picked me up while I was yet a sinner. I'm not a natural man. I'm not a natural man. I put no emphasis on fame and fortune. I'm always amazed. A friend of mine and I was in a restaurant one time, and there was a basketball player, an NBA player there. This guy was 40 years old. He just couldn't eat. He kept looking over at that guy. He kept looking over at that guy. Kept looking over at that guy. Finally, he said, I got to go over there. And I heard him say, sir, I hate to bother you. Would you give me an autograph for my little boy? And the guy gave him an autograph and went back to eating. He wasn't getting that for his little boy. He's 40 years old, and he wanted another man's autograph? I don't understand that. There's not a person in this world that I want their autograph unless it's on a blank check. That's all I want. I'm just not enamored by presidents and singers and athletes. I appreciate their talent. I'm not saying that. But friend, there's nobody that can compare with you and you and you and you and you because you are the cream of the crop. You are the apple of God's eye. You're spiritual people. You've been born again. You and I have rapport. Oh, that's the reason why I don't understand racism. Because most white people and I have absolutely nothing in common. Absolutely nothing. But Warren M. and I have everything in common. That's what I relate to, spiritual people. People that know my God. People that have experienced my experience. People that have my destiny and are going to the same place with me. I understand that. I'm a spiritual person. There's nothing that thrills me more than being in a church service and watching somebody walk to this altar and giving their life to Christ and going to that baptistry. If I leave a little bit when I think the service is over and they come back and they tell me somebody's being baptized, I usually come back out. I just want to watch it because that's part of what I understand. I understand the spiritual things. They don't make any sense to the natural man, but to me they are life and they are life more abundantly. And so, friend, I want to tell you that this church is going to be filled with God's Spirit. I don't care what the trends are. We're not building a Fortune 500 company. We are saving people one by one. We're leaving the 99. We're going back to get them. We're taking a message to the pig pen for the prodigal. We're about God's people. And praise God, if we never got another person saved, I came to San Antonio to see people saved, and I've seen all of them saved. And so when I go to heaven, there's going to be a bunch of people up there that came right out of these pews that are living for God and die and go to heaven because of this church. And so I'm happy, happy, happy. I'm a spiritual man. Look at somebody and say, I'm a spiritual woman. I'm a spiritual man. Confess that. Confess that every day of your life. The natural things shouldn't get you down. You ought to be living on a spiritual plane. Well, just stand on your feet, lift your hands right now, and praise God as only spiritual people can do in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. I feel God's presence in this room right now. I wonder if there's anybody in this building. It's the reason why people get depressed. It's the reason why people have... They put too much emphasis on the natural things. If you ever truly become a spiritual person, the devil won't be able to drag you down with natural things. You'll say, this is very small in my life. It's pretty far down on my list, because I am a child of the living God. I've got treasures in heaven. My destiny is settled. Is there somebody in this building right now that's battling with fear or depression, and you just say, well, something's wrong in my life? I want you to step out of your pew and walk down this aisle right now and say, in the name of Jesus.